Welcome. And I can't help feeling. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chains nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, where it's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which, according to the Prime Minister, is good for the economy, because now everybody can get a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. And my very special guest joining us is Pip Cunningham, all the way from the isolated metropolis known as the Tron, the city of the future, Hamilton, and as the former mayor of Auckland and formerly respected by the people of New Zealand, John Banks used to say, there's a reason the river runs through it. Pip, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Tony.
Could you tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do? Because today you're actually on here to tell a very personal story.
Yeah.
About what has happened to your absolutely beautiful daughter with these child kidnapping pedophile service scum that are known as SIFs, incidentally named after a venereal disease.
Okay, on the 1st December 2009, I was taking my new partner to an evidential unit at Manukau Police Station for a historical child abuse case against his father. In the interview, he was in there for 2.5 hours. He had a bad sleep. I'd just had a new plate put in my mouth about 5 days prior. I was a little bit tired. I was sitting in a waiting room all by myself. 2.5 hours. I'm not at all. I finally came out. Now, this was actually in the Otahu Evidential Unit, not the Manukau one. My husband was actually sent there by Detective Matthew Strickland to gather evidence of historical child abuse, there's what marks across his face, etc. It's a big story, but anyway, I had me sitting there. After 2.5 hours, my husband comes out with this woman, which I presume was working for the police, which she obviously was. At this stage, I did not know she was a SIF trooper, but it didn't really faze me, even if she was. Just had a little chit-chat, and I just nodded off, a bit tired. I just got scared for my speech. I've got a new place in my mouth. And everything was like, well, okay, then, and off we went. 45 minutes went past, we got home. I was ready to pick up my daughter. Now, I need to tell you a little bit of history about this. I bring up my daughter on my own for 10 full years.
Now, Pip, I hate to interrupt you, but that video that we talked about playing on the air, we actually have that ready to queued and ready to play. I think that might actually explain a little bit of the background, don't you think?
Okay.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this video was taken and it was published on the 6th of October 2011 at Occupy Auckland. Now, the interesting part about this is, of course, you really have to have a lot of gall and a lot of bravery to speak out in public in the first place, particularly about something so personal and indeed something with such massive implications for the running of the country, such as exposing the pedophile network that basically operates within it. So without further ado, here we go.
You know what? 2 years ago, my child was taken from me from false allegations. I can't even get a trial. You know, 30,000 of taxpayers' money to pay for my legal bills. I'm on $200 a week. You've taken a 10 straight-A student, double millet and taekwondo. Do you know who my pal was young in? Our dog. He said, get off the friggin' dot net doorstep so I'll kick your friggin' ass. They go, mandatory reporting. Yeah, great. And they come knocking at your door and they'll take your kids in. I'll tell you what, you want to get them back. So you can write to every minister in parliament. That's nothing to do, you know this. But ombudsman, nah, they're not going to listen to you. Oh, I'm going to, nah, not going to listen to you. I've got a high court hearing and I'm going to fight for the truth. I am not a child abuser. Do you know how many kids are in care? The carers get paid $189 a week to look after my kids and assault her like they did last year. But oh yeah, what? Just kept it under the mat. They're friggin' liars, and I'll tell you what, they will take your kids because it's this mandatory reporting. It's bullshit.
They're a criminal pedophile ring.
They are a criminal pedophile ring. And I'll tell you what, if anybody, I find out anybody touches my daughter while she's in care, God help them, eh? I'm taking them to the High Court in December and January. You watch me. I will show them what the truth.
I see little difference between...
All right, so there you have it, folks.
That was very... Yeah, I recall that. What happened there was I had a QC acting for me by the name of Jenny Orloff. And we were going to the High Court. Do you know what they did? They pulled his legal aid funding off him so he could not fight for me. I was forced to go and find another lawyer, Jeremy Southern. He, without my authorisation, pulled my case out of the High Court and back trying to get a defendant hearing. Now you've got to remember, my child was uplifted on the 4th of December on two false notifications. Now, the first one was that read the plate. Now, that was at the Otahu Police Evidential Unit. The subjector that works there, her name is Rebecca Strange. I walked out of that building. She got on the phone, she put in a report that I was intoxicated and the room reeked of alcohol. I don't drink alcohol. When around that time, I would have like maybe one bottle of Munchake occasionally. I'm drug-free. You know, 99% alcohol free. I couldn't believe it. When they turned up at the door, I just said, oh, they've come to see my partner regarding his historical child abuse. Okay, pull me up, I mean, if you have to, because this is a big case. It's quite overloading, and if I get a little bit...
Here's the difficulty: is that I normally see fathers going through this sort of thing. Now,
they've tried it on both. You see, a neighbour. Okay, what happened was I was sitting outside the back door of my house. That's my boarder's Rottweiler, and because he liked me, so I gave him lots of attention. I was having a cigarette and a coffee. Book had been, I'll get my daughter's name. She, well, he'd been come home from school and gone out to play. I was sitting at the back doorstep, having coffee, and my arm around the Rottweiler can, which I had photos of. My partner tried to get past the Rottweiler, and because my daughter and my partner, this dog was quite protective of me, And as my partner tried to go past the dog, it was quite a narrow doorstep, that not really able to growl at him. And that's when he raised his voice at the dog. Now, a man by the name of Mr. Honey, one door over, could not see behind where I was. Yes, my partner did say that, but he said it to the dog. That man, Mr. Honey, rang Charlie's and family and made an notification that he had heard that when Chris said, get off the fucking back doorstep, or hit your fucking butt, yes, he did say that to the dog. I know it was this man, Mr. Honey, because he approached me in my driveway and questioned me about it. He got it wrong. This is an old man that sits at home, drinking home brews. So anyway, besides the point, he had made a mistake. So, and then we had the police evidential unit, right? I took this to my defended hearing. I had to wait. And the only reason I got a defended hearing after that got rid of my GC lawyer, got me out of high court because they were absolutely crapping themselves.
Well, for those of you in the United States, QC lawyer is basically the top rank, the Queen's Council of Lawyers in New Zealand. And the mere fact that you had anybody at all willing to take up the case full stop was quite astonishing to me, because they normally run a mile from these kind of cases where the criminal conduct of the child paedophile services are involved. And sure enough, he went running, didn't he? And they replaced him with somebody who was on the take. At least this is my professional assessment.
They made me lose my lawyer by withdrawing his license to have a legal aid. They had to get rid of that QC because they knew they had no evidence. They knew they had no witnesses.
And they also knew that they controlled the court.
No. But, okay. 3.5 years go by, I still have no defender's name. And I'm walking around, totally defamed, traumatised, my daughter urinating herself, trucked from foster home to foster home. It even got worse, Bunny. She started to self-harm. I got a phone call from Child, Youth and Family in December that my daughter is on the way to the hospital. She's been attacked by a pit bull. I just got my car and I went. I didn't ask for permission because they hadn't let me see my child since July last year because they knew I'd contacted Chester Burrows, the Minister of Courts, and told him that I was entitled legally to have a defended hearing to prove my innocence within 1 year. They had made me wait 3.5 years, and in that process, they had passed my child to the paternal family. The father was out of the picture because he had his own... we'd never lived together. He wasn't it's not on the birth certificate. But anyway, they handed my child to them. Now, this is what happened when the first day they took her. They tried to grab her from they snatched her from the school at first, but knowing that I was on my way back from coming back from my lawyers. Then my daughter ran. Oh, they said to me, "Look, we're only going to stay for the weekend. Just to give you a break, they have some concerns and that you'd like your partner to leave the house." And I said, "Well, look, just in town, I need to get his mother to come and pick him up." And that, anyway, so I agreed. I didn't sign any papers. I agreed that her aunt to the maternal side could take for the weekend. This is on the 4th of December. Now, that auntie, her name is Alicia Martin, my daughter has moderate aggressive ADHD. She's on medication. The auntie and the grandmother are anti-me. They threw at their patient without any medical permission.
Pip, unfortunately, we're going to have to go to break right here, and I want to reiterate this. If you take somebody off medication, medication's bad, sure, but if you take them off it, it is insanely damaging, and this is actually what happens with a lot of mass shootings. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Pip Cunningham, talking about her daughter being snatched for absolutely no reason. Like, if you yell at a dog, all right, what are you going to do? Call the SPCA, claim that you're psychologically abusing the dog when it growls at you and you just want it to get out of your frickin' way? All right. But no, they don't do that.
Better cared than the SPCA.
You're frickin' right there. She would have at least gotten three square meals a day, and had somebody scratch under her chin once in a while. What's happening right now is an absolute disgrace. I mean, you've shown me the pictures, Pip, of what your beautiful, happy, vibrant taekwondo
She was doing St. John's Cadet. And with her medication, I don't like medication, but it's required because the school, when she was little, said that her behaviour was, and she was assessed by one of the top paediatricians, there's two, Tony Hahn from Howick. He initially assessed her. Then one of the top paediatricians in Auckland, Dr. Simon Rowley, but she's probably unaware of all this going on.
Pip, it's funny you should mention that guy out in Howick, because when I was a boy, I went to go see that guy.
Right, he's excellent.
Yeah, and he gave me a test about just reaction time and things like this and all this other stuff that I didn't understand. And then in one of the interview questions, he asked me this, and I found this question very telling. Have you had your father missing for all or most of your life? You know what ADD stands for? Attention Dad Disorder.
Brooke does not have a dad, and she always did yearn for her father, but I could not provide that. I could only do my best on my own. And yes, I may have smothered her to try and make up for no dad around. That's the only thing that she could, you know, I did my best I could.
Hey, well, it happens to everybody, and in this day and age, I mean, since the family unit's been broken down over the past 30 years, it's a common thing. It's 50%+ divorce rate, so on and so forth. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, women should be slaves to the man or anything like that. I'm simply saying that everybody needs a balanced development. They need a positive male role model in their life. Doesn't have to be necessarily their father if the father ain't there. And they need a positive female role model. And girls, they start to emulate the mother, and they start to be attracted to the archetype of the father. So they'll be attracted to men that remind themselves of their father. That's why a lot of young girls who have very bad relationships with their fathers wind up having a lot of really bad relationships with other men and getting involved with the wrong guys kind of thing.
That's why one of the reasons Brooke wanted to go to Taekwondo, male figure, you know, the instructor, she bonded with the school teachers, you know, they had the Father's Day and the Fish and the Chip Day, etc. And she asked them, one of the male teachers, could he sit with her to replace the dad that had just didn't. He actually wanted me to terminate the pregnancy, and I refused.
Mm.
There's a little bit of history. He did hold me hostage. I didn't actually know I was pregnant at the time and threatened to kill me. So there was a protection order to cover me and my unborn child. Anyway, going on from when she taken on the Friday, 4th December 2009, the meds were removed. Now, I don't know who authorised that, but it wasn't a medical, anybody medical. I don't know if the auntie and the grandmother decided to do it off their own backs or the fifth. Now, the third social worker was a trainee. First 6 months on-job training, not a registered social worker. She's an ex-school teacher. Oh, she did really well. You should have seen the affidavit she managed to get, that she wrote to get temporary custody of my child. Boy, if you read it, you would think, oh my gosh, this is disgusting. It read so true. It was so believable. I am not surprised the judge let them take her. But it was a pack of lies.
Could you do you recall any of those any of those specifics in this case?
Oh gosh, it's 3.5 years ago.
If you don't recall, that's okay. Just move on.
No, all of the because I was at the lawyers trying to stop that, but I had a newbie lawyer on the Indy Lynch, Amy Chestnut. She was getting tagged around by a child lawyer, Jane Davis. Now, she is right up SIP's backside, if you know what I mean.
For the international audience, SIPs is commonly returned as SIFs, Child, Youth and Family Services New Zealand. Sorry, Pip, go ahead.
Anyway, so my daughter's caught with the paternal arm that she didn't even like. Hardly spent any time with her. Your grandmother never hardly ever spent any time with her. I always had to ring and say, look, could you possibly spare an afternoon to spend with your grandchild? You know, I'd have to ask, you know. But anyway, so they've got my child. SIP gave them to my child to them. They've taken her off the medication. They cut her hair off. Now, my daughter is part Maori.
They cut her hair off like in freaking Full Metal Jacket.
And I am European, but I have strong Maori beliefs, and you do not cut my child's hair off. They did. That was the first thing that really upset me. Anyway, that was okay. The process for the unqualified newbie social worker, so Maniwewa, we're talking about Maniwewa, sir. She told me, okay, look, you go and register with Oasis Family Solutions, and that's all you have to do, and then you can have your child back on Friday. I thought, well, that's okay. I'll jump that hoop, you know, and that's easy as. I've got nothing to hide. So I did that. I rang them first and I said, well, Dr. Sora told me that she's put a referral through and I've never heard of it. And I thought, oh, okay, then I've not been referred. Okay, I'm going to refer myself. So I referred myself. My partner and I, we did a parenting course, but they told the judge that, no, we didn't. We've got the certificate to prove it. Okay. But anyway, so I go and I register. This is on that Friday. I said, have my child back. My partner was going, his mother was on the way from Tauranga. He was getting picked up at 2:30. But they wanted him gone because they said, oh, you know, he threatened to break or kick my daughter or whatever the old man had said. So he said, okay, he says, look, I'll go back to Tauranga and so that you can get your daughter back. Oh, no, that wasn't good enough, was it? Friday, I go into the Maniwewa office, called in, I can't wait to bring clothes. And I thought, well, what would I want to bring clothes for when I'm going to be collecting my daughter? With my partner, they wanted with the stepfather. So, okay, I jumped at him and was like, okay, he's all packed up, ready to go. I says, okay, right, I'm here to organise what time I can collect my daughter. My partner, Chris, he's getting collected at 2:30. And that social worker, she stood there and she goes, oh, no, it's not easy as that, you know. And I said, what the heck? I lost the clock in it. I went into shock. I was hyperventilating and I lashed out. I was yelling and about 5 or 6, because she had lied to me, the 5 or 6 social workers came around outside the office. And I was just basically verbal diarrhea. It's like, you lied to me, you said it was going to be the weekend, and then if I do the sign, you know, go to register Oasis and their parenting course and everything, I could have my child back on Friday. I'd registered on my own back with no referral. And she said, no. I lashed out and I did punch a social worker. It wasn't hard. It was just more of a frustration. I was hyperventilating. I couldn't breathe properly.
Well, this person has just told you that they're kidnapping your child.
I know. Unfortunately, it was the manager of this, Colin Gallagher. They did not lay charges. I apologise. They took me into... they tried to calm me down. Because I was absolutely... I was like, oh, my God, what are you doing? My baby. And they were trying to calm me down, but I was in such shock. I used to do karate, so I was self-defending to try and get them away from me, to not touch me. I didn't want them to touch me. Next minute, they're going, you punched 4 social workers. No, I didn't. I lashed out and I punched 1 social worker on the upper arm. It wasn't very hard. She didn't fall over or anything like that. No bruises, nothing. And I apologised. She explained she was the manager of Manera 6. But I was self-defending and those other social workers were trying to sort of grab me and get me into a room to get me to come out of a panic and hyperventilation. Okay, so I got over it. I left home. I left the office absolutely devastated. Once I'd left, the Tosasura had rung the grandmother on the paternal side and told her, no, Brooke is not going to be returned. The grandmother tells my daughter. My daughter absolutely freaked out. Got to remember, she's in sudden withdrawal from Rosalind as well. So she ran from the school the following, I think it was the Monday she ran. She's only half a block from where I live. She ran home and she says, don't let them take me, Mum. They hide me. So I got her in the car and went straight to a lawyer. Now that's the day that just sort of went straight in her affidavit and got the uplifting order from the judge with her fictional affidavit.
I bet it didn't feel that uplifting at the time.
She turned up with a piece. It's not good.
I recall you saying this at the protest that the police even had tears in their eyes because.
What happened? I'll try and break it down as simple as for you. But when they took this sort of came to the house with another lady by the name of Sandy, Brock couldn't let me out by the door. And they didn't have, they wanted me to go out in the door and they didn't have paperwork at the time. So I told them to get my property. They said, look, we just want to talk. And that, and Brock was begging me, please don't open the door, don't open it, don't let them in. And I was trying to talk through the window. I think I recall they did take off, but they came back. Anyway, so I finally, they talked me into coming out of the house. And Brock was inside the house. Next minute, the two social workers and me were locked out of the house. My daughter had locked us out of the house, yelling at them through the window, go away, I'm not coming with you, my mother's the best mother in the world. Bawling her eyes out, she's like terrified, absolutely terrified. Anyway, within a week, they snatched her from the school. And, yeah, they hit her. I wasn't allowed to go near her. They made me do supervised visiting. I was treated like a criminal. We were both obviously very upset. She was crying. She's in such a bad way, she's actually urinating herself. I was tearful. And then they write a report, she's upsetting her daughter. It just went on and on. Even in that first 10 months, Brock told me that Auntie only changed her sheet once in that year. I turned up in the access a little bit later on in the year. I was going week home. Then my daughter informs me that the Auntie had assaulted her and kicked her in the shins.
I think that's a good place to leave it for just a moment. We're going to go to break in a few seconds here. And I want to stress to the audience that this is not an isolated case in this country, nor in any other for that matter, where you have fraudulent government agents who are literally just taking people's kids and letting them be abused. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show right here on American Freedom Radio, 5 days a week. I must encourage people, please, for the love of Norwegian cheese, share this broadcast with your friends, your family, people that you hate, any, just share it every freaking where, okay? And especially the YouTube channel as well, Mr. News, Guerrilla Media. I mean no ego when I say this. Every single person in New Zealand and every single person in the entire world will benefit from the knowledge and the stories that you will hear on these broadcasts and on the videos. If there were enough people actually tuning in to broadcasts like this, specifically this one, and I'm serious about this, the world would be a much better place. People would care about each other. People would actually have knowledge beyond their years. You can learn more in 6 months listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show than you can if for 20 years listening to conventional AM/FM talk radio with a piece of trash in New Zealand like Michael Laws. I can assure you of that. It's not that difficult. All you got to do is listen to the people's stories. Because everybody's got one. Pip Cunningham is my guest. Welcome back. And we were talking over the break about how your daughter was actually locked out of one of the foster homes. And goodness knows what this person was might have been on the computer, headphones on, watching porn, goodness knows what. And your daughter's actually being attacked by a pit bull. And he couldn't hear her. He couldn't hear her to let her into the house. Scream.
And there was a pit bull shaking her leg back and forth and ripped it to the bone.
Oh, my God.
Two dots of surgery within 2 days. And you know what? When I turned up at that hospital for my daughter, she was happy to see me. But shops kicked me out and I was not allowed to return back. I didn't even know if she was dead or alive on the second operation the following day. They didn't care, they didn't tell me. You know, I went to the registrar and I said, look at the state of my daughter. She's got razor blade marks on her arms. I mean, why does a child self-harm? You know, a lot of people don't understand this, but they do it because they've got so much pain that they need to put pain somewhere else. You know, my child has been parental alienated by several carers, by the six social workers. I think there's six, seven of them, she said. And no matter what I did, it was never, ever good enough. I actually, I can't remember, because I was, you all know Daniel Ryder. He was just trying to assist me. They tried to do the parental assessment. They wanted a parental assessment. And I smelled a rat. I thought, wait a minute. I used to be an owner of my own company, CEO of New Zealand Homes Consultancy Limited, and I know all about souped up, paid off assessors.
Well, I find this ironic. If anybody's not qualified to assess good parenting, it's Child, Youth and Family Services.
It happened because, you know, when I did have my company and I was a consulting advocate for claimants getting the right to entitlements from ACC, those doctors, I sent the militia. If they are found to have downgraded my client's assessments, they will be facing criminal charges or loss of medical license. So as you see, I'm not liked very much at all. And unfortunately, I had the same name as one of the judges. You probably recall her, Philippa Cunningham, the one that she gave the child back because the comedian made it the public laugh.
Mm.
I so wish I was a comedian. Well, I'm not laughing.
And it's not funny.
It's not funny. It's not funny. And it's serious child abuse. It's not. She was physically assaulted in care by the auntie. I sent the police around. But my daughter was too scared because the police was still there. She was frightened. You know, and then.
I don't know about you, but I think a fear of the police is quite a healthy reaction. That's like fear of death.
Yeah, well. This was her mate who writes an apology to her auntie. And my daughter told me this, that she's forced to write a letter of apology for the cover-up of the assault. She also told me that the auntie is also having, and this is when the law is already in, when my lady hit children, she was having her own child in front of Brock. Now, Brock offered her ADHD medication, thought this was funny. Because she, you know, she'd never been touched. So, I mean, I don't know where Brock's mind was. She was very mixed up. She was attacking the younger child, biting her, kicking her. And this is why the auntie was angry. Because Brock was in severe withdrawal of the medication. When I, and she started kissing the auntie's younger 4-year-old, I think she was. But, yeah, she, at the end of the day, she couldn't handle my daughter. She was trying to say, oh, you know, you don't have ADHD, you know, your mother can't control you, da da da. Well, I don't see that. Parents shouldn't have to control their parents. You don't control people, do you? You don't control a child. You bring them up with love and compassion and positive parenting. You know, you praise the good, you ignore the bad. But you say you time out. She was like 10, so she got 10 minutes if she was naughty. But then I was accused of, what do they call it? holding my child hostage in her room. The timeout.
You mean discipline?
Yeah. So now I'm I've been labelled a child abuser. I hold my child in the hospital in a room, which I learned it off the nanny that, you know, you're put on the naughty seat. You know, it was quite common for time out, put your child in, so you've got to stay in your bedroom, because the way I did it, when she's 5, it was 5 minutes, when she's 10, it was 10 minutes. But, anyway, where do we go from here?
Well, I'd like to really kind of encapsulate this whole thing and try and sum it up if I can.
Yeah.
Okay, so your partner says, get off the frickin' deck or I'll kick your frickin' ass to a dog.
Yeah.
Old guy next door mishears it, thinks he's talking to your daughter, reports it.
We couldn't see it. We were behind. We were in the back of on the back doorstep.
Yeah, yeah.
We're in a cul-de-sac, so it's like one house away. So he couldn't actually see us, but he could definitely hear it. And he definitely heard my partner say that.
Yeah, yeah.
He assumed that it was at my child.
Now this is another point. This is another point to raise as well. The family court operates outside the law. That's why you're not allowed to report inside the family court, because there's no evidence in so many of these cases that a lot of people going into this situation for the first time think that they're a pack of criminals. And you know what? Sometimes things are exactly as they appear. And I remember somebody else who was outside the High Court protesting a number of years back. He told me that he was trying to get his son back, and he had been trying for years. And one day he said, you know what, today I'm either going to jail or I'm getting my boy back. And he got his boy back. You know what he did, Pip?
No.
He accused the judge of being a pedophile. And instead of docking him and driving him and then denying it and everything like that, he says, ooh, I'm going to give you your boy back.
Yeah, I ended up with female judges. But, you know, females can be pedophiles too, I suppose. No, I've seen proven that they can do that.
In fact, it's rampant, and we were talking about...
Now, I tell you what, I know why my child was taken. And this will clarify. When I met my new partner, he'd only been in a relationship for 3 months, and that's done. Now, with my daughter being ADHD, he was 100% attention from me. He was a little bit of sort of not used to having to share me. So the ADHD was playing out and just testing us a little bit, but he never, ever laid one hand on my daughter. Excuse me, I'm getting out of the throat. Now, what the problem was, now this is where it is. When my partner and I come together, he had a car, I had a car. He had a computer, I had a computer. We doubled up on everything. We're quite well off financially.
You know, Pip, we're coming to break here, so I'll tell you what. You can go get yourself a glass of water, girl. Jeebus. Is there an assistant back there who could pat Pip on the back? Jeebus creepers. Hamilton weather, eh? Yeah. Hey, it must be chemtrail season. It's that time of the year. Yeah. All right, well, Pip Cunningham is my guest, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll go back to her after the break in just a few minutes. And I also wanted to reiterate that this is a listener-supported broadcast, so if you can go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, if you appreciate the fact that I give a platform to those people that the mainstream media always, not just some of the time, but always ignore, that need a platform to get their freaking voices out so that the truth may be heard by the general populace, who need to be informed with real information instead of X Factor, then please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, donate, or subscribe. We'll be right back. ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two. You're listening to hour number two of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. It's the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, because in these kind of times, you really do have to understand how bad everything is. But at the same time as understanding how bad everything is, you've got to find some freaking coping mechanisms. And I'm not promoting the use of meth by any stretch of the imagination. Have a sense of humour, all right? Doctors do it in triage. You would believe the dark jokes some of these people tell me. It's horrific, but it's freaking funny. And you know why? Because you don't have any other choice. If you don't laugh, you will cry. If you don't try and make light of the darkness, it will envelop and consume you for all time. There is nothing you can do to stop it. And anybody who thinks seriously, think seriously about this for just a moment, about the huge quantity of torture, murder, drug dealing, rape, scumbaggery, financial mismanagement that is destroying people's lives at all moments of every single day of the week, 365 days a year. If you were to even try and focus for one moment on everything that's bad that's going down, you'd go insane in an instant. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you go friggin' nuts. And I don't mean to make light of the situation with the with Pip that we're having here, but we were actually having a wee bit of a laugh over the break over the absurdity of it. And you told me, Pip, that one of the reasons why they decided to take your daughter is because you and your partner had quite the age gap.
Yes, that's correct.
There's
28-year age gap. I'm older than my partner, and it wasn't accepted, not by my older daughter, not by the neighbours. We were quite well off. And that's the only thing I can think of, because I had a clean police record. Like, I brought my child up. Around 9 years celibacy, as a 24-hour mother, I never even babysitted my child out. She went to Sunday school. She's my baby. Now, my partner, he is sterile. I have gone into puberty. They have stolen my child. I cannot have another child. And I can never get my baby death. And now I was cleared by the judge on the 18th of January this year that because I had evidence in my handbag that clearly I had my receipt for my plate, that the note on the back of the receipt said, "Your plate will cause, or could cause, slight slurring of speech." I was accused of being an alcoholic for me. And I would have to, every day now, they totally defame me and people think I'm a child abuser, and I'm not.
You know what's funny is, well, in fact, this isn't funny. I'm sorry. I shouldn't mean to use that word.
Yeah.
What's really horrific about it is that I've had lies told about me.
Yeah.
And you know what I hate more than anything else in the world is people telling lies about me and people believing it and being accused of something that I haven't done. It is the most incensed, inflamed sensation. It almost drives you into full-on fight-or-flight, kill-or-be-killed mode. That's how much of a switch-off it is for me.
Absolutely. It turned into a witch hunt. An absolute witch hunt. For anybody that is jealous of me or jealous of my... Because my partner's actually quite... quite handsome. He looked like Taylor Lautner. But, you know, that was my good luck. But the thing is, a person to be so nasty, okay, the public needs to know. Anybody that's got a child or children, you had a fallout with your neighbour, they're jealous. Maybe you've bought a brand new car. Listen, if they're that vindictive and nasty, they go, how can we just stuff their life up? So they get on the blower, don't they? And they make a false notification, and they.
And these notifications don't require any evidence. It's just your frickin' say-so. Look, a friend of mine, a person in my flat when I was in Dunedin assaulted me in my room. And then the police came round and he said, oh, well, you know, he was just having a panic attack and I was trying to console him and now he's just calling you up and saying that I assaulted him. You know, just complete lies. You know, the cop said, well, it's your word versus his. Sorry, we can't do anything. Precisely the same thing would have happened here.
Yeah, I mean, okay, another scenario. At the six-month point, I misread something on legislation, and I did make a mistake, but I didn't realise I had. At the six-month point, I thought that the temporary custody order had automatically fallen off. So I went to Access with this belief, and I told them I'm taking my daughter home, and they let me walk out with her. And we said, oh, gosh, that's the last day and the best day I've ever had with my daughter, is that day that we walked out of that Access Centre, and I thought that was over, that I'd made a mistake, and that information that I had read was obviously... there was obviously a loophole there that they I shouldn't have done that, and I thought I was allowed to, because I thought it was automatically after 6 months of withholding a child with no evidence and everything. I thought, you know, and this is what I thought I'd read through legislation, but you know how quite mind-boggling that is when you're reading acts and sections and legislation.
Oh yeah, anyway. It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
No wonder the politicians don't even read the bills.
At 7 o'clock that night, I brought my daughter home, and she was just so relieved to be home. 7 o'clock, knock, knock, knock on the door.
Are you kidding me? On the very day that you're going to bring home, they come for her?
Oh, God, yes.
Sweet mother of mercy.
Two police officers, a big, burly, armed guy, and a... Oh, I don't know what you call it. I think it's Asian, Korean or something. Really vicious. And they come in and they had their order and they said, you've removed your child wrongfully from the Access Centre. And Brock is clinging to me, got a dear life. Nothing. And she's going, Mummy, please take me. She's looking at the place. My mum, your best mother in the world. And they dragged her, into the car. There were tears in the policeman's eyes. They couldn't do a thing because the six officers had that court order and the police officers couldn't help. Watching this little girl screaming at them, mother's never hurt me. Mother's the best mother in the world and she wouldn't let me go. And it just had to rip her out of my arms and drag her and throw her in the back of the car. You know, and that is my worst memories of what I did. You know, I'm never going to get my child back. Because, even if I did, I took my 10-year-old little girl. I've got a 14-year-old girl that's scarred up from self-harming for the trauma that she's been through, because she couldn't handle the pain, so she started razor-blading my arms. But she, you look Todd, it's all in your head. She's not a self-harmer. Well, what do you call that, Tommy?
I call that a bunch of BS.
It's disgusting. It's got to stop. It's got to stop because I know I'm not the only one in New Zealand.
There are so many. I hear stories like this coming out of England, Australia, Canada, the United States.
Yeah.
It's
Schaefer. Yeah. Was assassinated, and her husband, and then the next woman that stepped into her shoes. What they did with her to keep her quiet. They took her children. Have you heard of Nancy Schaefer, Vinny?
No. Could you explain this?
Oh, really interesting. I would advise anybody, because it's the same thing. It's happening in America, England, Australia, and New Zealand. And if you YouTube Nancy Schaefer, you'll see what she's trying to say. Now, because she spoke out and was trying to do what I'm trying to do, she was assassinated. I actually always fear, this is why I decided to go public, because I do fear for my life. Because if it happened to Nancy Schaefer, we've already had the SIS take down my partner's Facebook page.
Really?
Yes.
How do you know it was the SIS?
From the email.
They sent you an email.
It was an email, Facebook advising that the SIS had closed down his account because he put up a picture of Paula Bennett over a stove. She was doing a homeless people thing, you know, trying to be the good, you know, I can cook for them and da 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 da. And he placed, I can't remember exactly what it said, but just some words on the pot. And the SIS took his page down.
Well, that means that you specifically and your partner, maybe because of your case, have drawn SIS attention because they're there to protect the pedophile network as much as anybody.
Well, you know how they spy on New Zealand. Well, do you know what? I advise anybody, if they're in my situation and I do this with my laptop, I sort of take a piece of black cardboard over my webcam. So they can't watch me in my bedroom.
Mm.
That's how bad it is. But, you know, but speaking out, I want New Zealand parents to know this is what's happening, and with me opening up and telling you, this could happen to you. Don't think it. I used to think, oh, children are only taken by sex. Surely. And take children for nothing. I used to be like that. But I was so wrong. I was so, so wrong.
You know what's really sad is that most people like yourself, in order to see the truth, you have to have it happen to you.
That's right.
Now, that's not good enough.
Because I was one of those people that were ignorant and didn't realise that this was actually going on in New Zealand.
We think we're safe in this country, don't we?
That's a bit of a joke.
I mean, New Zealanders, are you freaking retarded? Don't you get it?
Honestly, Paula Bennett would not know how to run a peanut farm.
Apparently, she was known as the town bicycle of Rotorua.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about her daughter was a peer at it, and they were gang affiliated. So
you know what? There's nobody better.
Her daughter was going out with a gang member, and still was. They were both peers. It's all right, we're here to be the high and mighty and gain the MP's job. As Minister of Social Development on her solid benefit, got a daughter, she's gang associated for the benefits through her daughter.
You know what, Pip?
What?
I don't think you put anybody into a position unless you've got some dirt on them that you can blackmail them with.
I emailed Corbina and I begged her. I absolutely begged her. They've made a mistake. Please help me. Ignored Judith Collins. Ignored Oscar Pasbeck. I wrote to every single MP and every party twice. And they just said, no, you need to go and see Paula Bennett. Contact her. I did.
They're passing the buck.
You know, I don't know today if my child's going to commit suicide or not. I don't know if she's actually alive or dead, actually. You know, don't you think that terrorism... It is terrorism.
Well, terrorism is defined as a system of government, much like communism or capitalism, whereby the government uses horrible, coercive tactics in order to make the people do what it wants through terrorizing them.
Well, they didn't make... I know what they wanted me to do. They wanted me to commit suicide. But luckily, I'm an ex... Dad's senior assistant from Green Lane Intensive Care, and because of that type of job, it's given me I've got a lot of strength, and so this is what I thought. You know, it helped me with my strength side of things, but then on the other side, it's like, what's the point in topping myself when they won? Don't they?
Well, you're a fighter, and you know, we mentioned...
I'm not going to stop fighting, and I'm not going to be quiet, and I will go on and on and on until somebody... You've got to be exposed to me.
I only wish I could help even more. You know what? Why I ask people to listen to this show, Pip? You know why I self-promote so much and get shouted down at meetings, like happened at the GCSB meeting? It's because people need to hear this stuff. You need to hear this stuff, everybody. You know the reason why everything's so fracked up in every single one of our countries? It's because you're not listening.
You're being cheap. It's like, bah.
Hold on, Pip, I'm sorry. We're going to break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Don't you go anywhere.
I take my anger to a place that ain't gonna get up in your face. The facts we okay, but the system fails. We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Dino, I'm not Tina Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does so where do I stand? They paying their bills off your back with hefty tax demands. Misleading our youth with alcohol, TV contrabands. So kids act up and disturb our community. Uninformed public then consents to our planned absurdity. What? Replace our human rights with commercial slavery.
They print $100 and loan it to you. They charge interest on the loan but don't print the interest, so there'll never be enough money to pay off all the debt. What do you get? Crash and burn. When will my people learn the truth? Come on now, before it's too late. Hey, I got a new law for you. Let's make charging interest illegal and I'll tear it all. So righteous, the greedy wanna see me fail. So righteous, like Jesus chilling on some nails. Yeah, I'll fight this, die quick, never old and frail. My no hype spit of the classified true tale. Alzheimer's on the increase due to aluminium in the chem.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. My very special guest is Pip Cunningham. And, you know, it's been funny. Since 2011, when I saw you speak, I thought to myself, you know what, I'm really going to interview this lady. I'm going to get her to tell her story because it looks like she's in a shockingly large quantity of frickin' pain. Real, intense, extraordinary, penetrating pain, and by
God, do people need to hear that stuff on a regular basis, because it knocks them out of their comfortable little squishy comfort zone, myself included. You know, people don't realize how freaking good they got it until they hear directly from the horse's mouth, from people who have had everything that they value and treasure taken from them. This could happen to you at any point, for any reason. This is the society we really live in. This is what is behind the veil. This is what they don't want you to see. This is why the media never covers it. This is why you can't report anything that happens inside a family court. This is why child, youth, and family workers can order police around. Sworn officers at your beck and call. Thugs with jackboots who will obey your every command, master. This is New Zealand. Wake the frack up. Pip, welcome back.
Hi. I have to say that with mandatory reporting, I mean, I understand that child and do need to step in and take some children that are being abused. But they should be only doing this with evidence. Just take a child, chuck a child, because he says, she says, but there's no evidence, holds on to that child and tries to stop that, the mother or the father, from getting the defender's hearing to prove that they are innocent, which I did, and the judge is disgusted. But they just didn't want to give me a hearing. I had to go through Chester Burrows.
Because then it's on the record.
I had to ask, please, I'm entitled to a defended hearing. That's all I want. And the judge was so angry. Judge Walker was awesome. She was so angry that I'd been left so long. 3.5 years is a long time. I lost a lot of weight. I couldn't eat because I went into fight or flight mode. I dropped right down to 35 kgs.
35?
35.
Holy cow.
I'm in a healthy weight now. Back to, just about being down to that.
For the Americans, that's like somewhere around the region of like 70 pounds or something, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm only about my high school weight, about 6.5 stone. Between 6 and 6.5 stone. I am only short, I'm only 5 foot. But the thing is that I'm walking around day and night with like a knot in my stomach.
It's almost like, imagine for a moment that we're talking fantasy, like Lord of the Rings or something.
Yeah.
It's like a curse that is placed upon you that takes the very deepest part of your soul and rips it right out of your body. It keeps it held as far away from you as possible so that the further away you are, the more you suffer, and it feeds off your suffering.
Yeah. I mean, I have no... This is, even though because they have managed to... the judge said that wouldn't accept that alienated my child. So, my daughter was telling me all the lies that she's been told by family members. Things like, these are the sort of things. Oh, that Facebook. Do you know where your mother's living now? She's living under a bridge. Things like that. Do you know where your such and such sisters that I bought you? This is the grandmother. Your mum's been throwing that on tape me. Last year in January, I actually did have a visit with Brooke, and and she's stunning. It's not true. It's not true. And I went and got this. It was a skincare gift. It cost me $60. Oh, no, sorry. It's the grandmother that bought that skincare thing. I said, here it is here. Why would I sell your things? That was okay. When I finally got to court in January, I had bought my daughter a Shiseido skincare pack. $59, a little bag with some lollies, a Shiseido skincare pack, with these balloons, chocolate balloons, things. And you know what? This supervisor, Manny Rover, a big guy, he turned around and he said that, well, if I got my daughter for her birthday last year, was a measly packet of lollies. And that's the biggest lie that is totally untrue. So basically, currently, we've got a beautiful 10-year-old, now 14, her head psychologically screwed up. She thinks she's ugly. She doesn't like being a sixth kid. She likes the money because they do buy her. They give her $330 every 12 weeks for clothes. And she got the elderly woman that's got 10 children. Well, she's absolutely cleaning us, isn't she? Because for every child she's got, she gets $189 per child.
Now, is that $189 before or after tax?
I'm not sure, Vinny.
Let's assume that it's before tax. It's $150 a week. She got 10 kids.
Yep.
She'd make 15. Kids. She'd make 1.5K a week.
Oh, no. You can't tell me that she's doing it for love.
Now, this reminds me of Dan Ryder, our mutual acquaintance. Because I've actually told this story on air a number of times, and indeed we recorded a conversation with him, and the video's up on the YouTube channel for anybody who wants to search just Daniel Ryder, R-Y-D-E-R. He actually found a house not unlike the one you're describing, where there were like something like 10 kids or whatever, yeah, in a garage on bunk beds.
Yeah. I know the one you're talking about. Yeah. I've seen that garage. It was just down the road from Paula Bennett's house, I think. But,
of course it is.
As far as I was aware.
Now, Dan went out there with his truck, wrapped a cable around that door.
And a shed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's disgusting. I mean, children or teenagers are very... especially traumatised ones, are very difficult. And they've got one old lady with 10 children, and there's another guy. They're actually moving from Otara, as we speak, out to Brockhurst Bay, because I don't know what's happened there.
Now, for those of you who don't know, that's like moving from Harlem to Beverly Hills.
Yeah. They said, we're really sorry. She's got herself into a bad crowd. And I said, no, you know, Sherlock. I'm not surprised, because I wanted her out of South Auckland as quick as possible. But no. I said, don't put her into office in college. There's drugs going around that school. But no, they didn't listen to me. And sure enough, my daughter gets suspended for smoking marijuana, supplied by another student. You know?
The word "I told you so" just doesn't quite cut it sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
They don't like it. They know that my daughter has, you know, the ADHD thing. Her sister was saying, when she was naughty, "Oh, stop blaming your bad behaviour out on your ADHD. That was psychologically upsetting my child, and that when I found my child sitting on the bed with a knife." And I contacted child mental health immediately, the people that were giving her the ADHD medication, and they told me to get that sister, that my older daughter, and her partner out of the house as quick as I possibly could. I had trouble, and within 6 months, I ended up having to turn the power phone on my density to get them off my property. So my daughter was already a self-harmer, but they kept on saying, it's all in my head, you know. It's not all in my head. I could actually show you photos, which I haven't put up because of my daughter's privacy. This is what annoys me. I'm not allowed to put photos up. I do now and again. Well, they're not told me I'm not allowed to, but it's actually personal for my daughter. But you've got the foster carer. Oh, she's loading up photos of all kids in her care, like trophies. And I emailed Joe Hopkins of Minnereba branch, the current social worker, and I told her, tell her to take the photos down. They're not her that's not okay. They're not her children. You know, oh, here, look what I've got.
See, even on Facebook, it's kind of like, it's kind of like against their.
His name's Tommy Greeley.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually even like against terms of service or something to upload photos of other people's kids on Facebook.
Exactly.
You know, hello, you're foster caring. There are other people's kids. I think I see a connection that's been missed.
Yeah, I mean, how do you think Brook would feel? Well, I mean, when she's older, she may not understand now, but she's been plastered all over Facebook by this woman. And so, oh, look, I've got a sixth kid. You know, oh, that's okay. She doesn't care. All she cares about how wonderful she is. 10 children, an old lady, a bit, she's, I don't know, she looks about 70 to me, but maybe 60. 10 vulnerable children in her care, solely in her care.
It sounds awfully a lot like the tale, like the tale of Oliver Twist.
I mean, yeah.
What does she serve them? Gruel?
I mean, they get a lot of money. I've seen the groceries on the floor, but the thing is, a normal mother and father that has 10 children would have difficulty in, you know, because they're all different ages. Most, several of them. Now, you may recall the Otara prostitutes getting you old. Do you remember that? Just recently. They plucked off the street by the police. Do you remember that?
No.
Oh, you haven't heard about that?
Remind me.
Okay. About, I'd say around about 6 months ago, that found that some families, I don't know if, anyway, they found 13-year-olds prostituting in Otara. Kids were uplifted and put in such care. I'm patting that a couple of them are in with my daughter. You know? Now, my daughter was, I sheltered her from that sort of thing. Now, I brought her up Christian. She went to Sunday school and everything. Now, she's just... You've seen the photos, funny, eh?
I described it over the phone to you, didn't I? People might be familiar with a special 60 Minutes episode about meth and what it does to people. And they had the before and after photos after basically their entire soul has been drained and all the light from their eyes and just a terrible, terrible situation for this person. That's the same kind of look that we're talking about here. We'll be right back after the break with Pip Cunningham. One more segment. Don't you go anywhere. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. You can also listen on the homepage at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question. And Eastwood doesn't go ahead, make my news. And speaking of making the frickin' news, I was at the GCSB meeting last night with Kim.com.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about all manner of scumbaggery that the government's up to, man. Covering up for its own dirty business, doing the will of the NSA, selling out the country to these globalist, fascist, eugenicist pieces of trash, Satanists, whatever the heck you want to call them, New World Order scumbags. And of course, guess who was there? Records the whole thing. Vinnie Eastwood. That's right. And guess who's got all of the videos from the entire presentation up, as well as Kim.com's particular contribution, 12 minutes long, with two camera angles cutting between each other with perfectly synced sound, plus seven other interviews with prominent members of that particular public meeting for about 4 minute interviews each to get their real perspective on where they think this bill and all of it is truly going. Guess who did that? All by himself, and was up until 6:15 in the frickin' morning to do so. Vinnie Eastwood. That's frickin' who? Who's the real media? I'm the real media. Okay? None of these other pieces of trash who work for the mainstream media have a freaking clue what they're doing. They don't know who they're messing with. They don't have the passion. They don't actually freaking care. I freaking care. You know why? Because if I don't, all of this important dialogue, all of these important lessons that the country ought to be learning right now in a timely fashion, will be lost forever because nobody took responsibility for showing up, freaking recording it, and putting in some freaking effort so that those who lay down their very lives, that stake their reputations to protect us all from scumbaggery, if nobody is there to ensure that that voice gets amplified and repeated out in high-def sound, it is a freaking wasted opportunity. Not on my freaking watch. Okay, this is what I do for this country. This is what I do for this planet. There's so many people from so many countries that have been on this show telling so many stories. And you know what? After a while, you get the impression that the grass is always greener on the other side. That everywhere, it's just as bad. Meaning, it's 10,000 times as bad as you could ever possibly conceive of. That's how bad things really are. And nobody's telling you about it because they want to protect you from the truth. You know why they want to protect you from the truth? Because they want to spare you pain. You know why they want to try and spare you that pain? Because that pain will get you really pissed off. Come after them and expose their scumbaggery and threaten their rule and dominance over your life and over your mind and over your hearts. And they cannot let the control go. This is the mentality of the people that we deal with on this show. These filth, slime, scumbaggery agents of the New World Order are the same everywhere you look. There's barely a distinguishing feature apart from a name tag and a face without a smile. Pip Cunningham is my guest, talking about her gorgeous daughter. And you know what? This reminds me of the case of Amy Sharon out of Texas. He showed me pictures of her daughter with the little pink cowboy boots and a little blue hat and stuff like that, walking around, playing dress up and stuff like that. The cutest thing you've ever freaking seen. Huge big smile on her face, cute blonde hair, beautiful blue eyes. And then I'll show you the picture of what she looks like after they stole her from her. Did not want to be around when that stuff went down. To change that beautiful child in such a horrific way. And the same thing has happened to your child and has happened to so many. Why won't people listen?
You know, why?
They're focusing, I think, on the Kahui and the other ones, and they think that's all the same, and it's not. And what I want the public to realise, what every parent is, they could be next. They knock at your door, and you could lose your child in an instant, and you'll be fighting for your life. It was 30,000 legalised. Now, it creeped up to around 70,000 and I lost count. You know, but, you know, and sleepless nights, I get insomnia, I dream, and that she's come back. My mother said to me, I had one daughter, and she says, you know, before she died, she says, you need to have another child just in case anything happens to your first child, otherwise you end up with nothing. I ended up with nothing anyway. Except for, I have to walk around every day, not knowing if my child is still alive, not knowing if she's going to commit suicide. I know that she has self-harmed with razor blades. I know she's taken drugs. I know she's taken alcohol. I mean, stuff rings me. And says, your daughter wants to know if she can get her lip pierced, a 13-year-old child. What sort of imbecile of a social worker would do that? You know, she's got a tongue pierced. She's only just turned 14. I mean, are they crazy?
I think we both know the answer to that question.
Here's the question.
Here's the question. Who's the crazy person? The person outside an office with a megaphone screaming about how horrifically they treat people's kids, or the person inside who's mistreating the kids and just going along with it? Who's the crazy one?
Unqualified. Yeah. Unqualified. If he does his job as such, you know, you don't even need to be qualified.
Mm-hmm.
You buy your own horn and say, oh, yeah, I lock my gate. My children never get out. That's just disgusting. It's like, I can't give a word for it. You know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, all of my daughter is wanting to be a kid, a normal, happy kid. All as I wanted to be was the best mother in the world as I was. And it was stripped from me by nasty reporting. They used my child as a weapon. Two people used my child as a weapon because they didn't like me. But some reason or another. But, you know, how nasty can that be? And anybody that's listening to me, you could be next. How do you gonna feel? And they come knocking at your door and your neighbour or whoever has decided, let's see if we can just upset their nice, happy little family and rip their child off them and make a false notification.
And anybody who's your potential enemy or something like that, if you reported a crime, like somebody stole a TV or something like that, then they go to SIPS and get your kids taken off. You know,
that's right.
This is what's going on, man.
That's exactly what's going on, and it has to stop. And I would like to see a public inquiry.
Yes.
I would like to see a public inquiry because
A public inquiry. You know why they call it a commission of inquiry? Because they're employed to cover up the commission of a crime. They always say, oh, well, I can't comment on that story until we hear back from the commission, which ignores most of the submissions and, incidentally, call them submissions because that's what you're doing when you submit to a commission of inquiry. You're submitting to their will and their lies and their scumbaggery. A public inquiry. Thank you very much.
I'm currently unsure how to do that.
But, hey, who cares? You don't need to know how to do anything, apparently.
And wants to help me do a public inquiry against MSD Paula Bennett, then please don't hesitate to contact Vinny and he will contact me.
Yeah, and is it okay if I give out your is it okay if I give out your Facebook page on the archives and all of that?
Absolutely. I have nothing to hide. I am an innocent mother. Yes, I'm traumatised and I'm overloaded. I can't help it. When you have had your child legally kidnapped with no evidence and brainwashed against you 3.5 years, it is going to affect you a lot. I've come a long way, but they are not going to get away with it, and I will not be quiet, and I will keep on doing it again for anybody that will listen.
You know, I think we've got to leave it there. We'll come to break in a minute. And that Facebook page is facebook.com/kiwi.hip. That's facebook.com/kiwi.hip. You can go there if you can help Pip or you would like to interview her or anything like that. And, of course, I'll be contacting the Vinnie Eastwood Radio Alliance for other good talk show hosts that might want to interview you as well, Pip. So thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you again.